I always enjoy reading a good book, and I'll read just about anything anyone gives me, and by the way, this has a point. I'll read just about anything anyone gives me. The only thing I really can't do is a mystery novel. Not real big on the mystery novel. There are multiple reasons for that, but I think one of the main reasons was I had an aunt who would always try to foist mystery novels on me as a child, and she was kind of one of those stern aunts. And she had a very particular way of reading a mystery novel. She would take the novel and she would read the last three chapters first, and then decide to read the rest of it. So, you know, after a while, it took me a while, but I worked up the courage to kind of ask her, why do you do that? And so I did. I said, so why? Why would you do that? I mean, doesn't that kind of miss the point? And she said, well, it's the only time in life where you can know the end of the story. It still doesn't make any sense, but okay, I know what she's saying. I mean, that's true. We often don't know the end of the story, right? And if we've lived long enough, we know that becomes truer and truer. The more we think we can predict what is going to happen, the less capable we are of doing it. We know, especially, that if we've lived long enough, we've had those things that have happened in our life which make absolutely no sense. You know what I mean? Sometimes we get 10 years away from it, or 20 years away from it, or if we're old enough, a lot longer, and we can look back and say, oh, I guess I can see. Sometimes, though, it doesn't matter how far away we get from it, it still really makes no sense. That's just the way that life tends to be. Enter the Israelites this morning, as we hear in the book of Micah. They're kind of they're in a whiny kind of mood. They've been whining for a while about the way life isn't working out just the way they thought it would. They're worshiping God the way they think it's prescribed that they're supposed to do it. They think they're doing what they're supposed to be doing in terms of worship, but it isn't working out. And so they're complaining to God, and God's kind of at the point where God's kind of fed up with it. And God hauls them into court. Essentially, that's what's happened this morning. The system's a little tilted because God is both, in this case, the prosecuting attorney and the judge. I mean, sometimes that's just the way it goes, right? But they end up in there, and the jury is all of creation. The hills and the mountains and all of creation are called to listen to this. And God says to them, well, go ahead and plead your case. But first, I'm going to remind you what I've done for you. I've delivered you from bondage. I've set you free. I have called you to new life. I have brought you to a promised land. Now, what is it that you'd like to complain about? And so they sort of do, and then they kind of stop, because I think they're starting to feel like they almost sound ridiculous in what they're complaining. So they finally say, well, God, what do we have to do to get you, basically to get you to give us what we want? Make all these sacrifices? How many rams need to be sacrificed? What is it that we have to do? And God says, I told you what goodness is. You don't get to decide how it's going to be. What I'm telling you is how to shape your life. And here's the way you shape your life. Do justice. Love kindness. Walk humbly with God. That's how you shape your life. Isn't that what this congregation has adopted as a way of shaping life? Well, you may do better on that some days than others. That's just the way that the spiritual life is. But when we're practicing our faith the way that God has called us to do, we're doing justice and loving kindness and walking humbly. Why? Because it changes the lives of the people around us in ways we may not even know. Now, this congregation, I didn't know very much about it. I have, you know, a little bit of contact with it from people who are invested in the diocese. But I knew the congregation was smart and insightful and spiritually centered when you agreed to keep David Zwifka as your priest. Now, he's kind of he's an interesting character, as you've come to know, and he's been on a long journey, and this guy's been there. I actually think he's the real deal. So I think you picked a winner out of it. Now, he's a little crazy, too, and he's a little out there. And if you're really serious about shaping your life the way that God has called us to shape your life, I would say that my best piece of Episcopal advice to you, and I had to drive all the way to Bethlehem from Bethlehem to tell you this, is hold on. It's going to be an interesting ride. But you were doing wonderful, great things before David arrived. But I think this partnership in this celebration today, in this shaping of a life, and your willingness to kind of step out of the norm. I mean, around the church, they would say, you don't call an interim to be your priest. Yeah, yes, you do. Yes, you do. When you discern that it is God's call, you do. This is the problem. We have to step out of what we think is always the norm into what God might be calling us to do. Because this order in which we're called to do justice and love kindness and walk humbly with our God isn't exactly an easy thing to do. God says we're to welcome all people, the widows, the orphans, and the aliens in the land, that's the refugees. We're to welcome all people into relationship with God and under the roof which we call church, and into a place to experience the grace and love of God. And why do we do it? Because it changes the lives of the people around us. Now, you may be sitting there saying, well, Bishop, that's very nice, but you really don't know me. I'm not the most spiritual person in the world. Maybe you're sitting there today and your life is not together. In fact, maybe your life's a mess. Maybe you're just in one of those periods where it is. Or maybe you're in one of those areas where everything's just going great. And it's awesome and everything's working for you. But in any case, it doesn't matter. God calls us to do the next right thing. To show grace to the next right. What is grace? God's love that is unmerited and undeserved. That means try showing love to that person in your life. You know you have one. That one person in your life that's hard to love. Maybe you don't have that, but I just say, I mean, I'm just preaching to myself. That one person that needs it, maybe doesn't deserve it, but needs it, it changes a life. That's what we're about. Changing one life at a time in ways we might not even be aware that we're doing, and I know you're doing that here. You're feeding people. Children in the schools, people that are on the sidewalk. I mean, hey, if I knew you were handing out coffee and hot chocolate, I'd have been here a long time ago. Housing the homeless. This is the work that God has called us to. It's being the church in the world. It's changing lives one at a time because we're willing to shape our life in the way that God calls us to shape our life. Now there's a wonderful story of a guy, an Episcopalian, who worked in, this is a true story, Midtown Manhattan. He worked for years. He lived outside the city. He took public transportation in and out, did this for years, grew up in the city, never had an issue. But he had a particular pattern. He would go to work in the evening. He would take public transportation home. He'd get off two stops early. Go up and eat at this diner. He was a single guy. He ate at the same diner every night. It was a routine. He did it for years. One day, he gets off the train. He starts up the steps, and someone comes up behind him, puts a knife to his back, and says, "Give me your wallet." And he said, "I knew what to do. I'd lived in the city long enough. I knew what to do." He said, "I just took out my wallet, handed it to this kid." Kid turns around and starts walking away, and he said, "I don't know whether it was the Holy Spirit or just sheer stupidity. But he said, I took off my coat, and I said, why don't you take my coat too? So he said, the kid walks up, rips the coat out of his hand, starts to walk away. And he said, I don't know what it was, Holy Spirit or sheer stupidity. I said to him, you got my wallet and my coat. Why don't you just join me for dinner? He said, the kid stood there with a knife in his hand, his wallet and coat, and just stared him down. He said, I didn't know whether he was going to, you know, charge me and form tackle me or what was going to happen. But the kid says, okay. So they walk up to the diner and they eat, and this guy's talking to everybody in there. He knows everybody, and this kid said, are these people your family? And he said, well, in a way, yes, but no, not in any kind of formal way. He said, this kid says, well, I've never seen any kind of community like this. I've never seen people treat each other this way. So they finish dinner and they're getting ready to leave, and the guy said, you know, I'm glad to pay for dinner. There's only one problem. You've got my wallet, but you give me your wallet back, give my wallet back, I pay for dinner. So he pays for dinner. Now, the interesting part of this story is that this young kid with a knife is now the warden of an Episcopal church. Now, if you think that story is hard to believe, or you think that's just a preacher's fable, try this one on. Wednesday of this week, my wife and 4-year-old daughter and I were in Florida. I was there for a meeting. I mean, somebody has to make sacrifices on behalf of the diocese. That's just the kind of bishop I am. I'll go to Florida for you in January anytime. Done it for a meeting, tack on a few days of vacation. Walking into one of the theme parks in Florida where you have to have your bags checked. Now, every employee of the theme park has their name on it and the city that they grew up in. Walk up to the table. This is the God's honest truth. Walk up to this table. Guy's name, Lebanon, PA. I said to him, Lebanon, PA. I said, I'm going there on Sunday. This is Wednesday. I said, I'm going there this Sunday. He said, why would you be going to Lebanon? I'm sorry. So why would you be going to Lebanon? I said, well, I mean, you know, there's a line of people. I said, I'm a pastor. I'm going to a church there to celebrate a new ministry. And he said, he's looking through my wife's bag. He said, oh, which one? I said, St. Luke's, the Episcopal Church. This guy looks, he stops and he looks up at me. And he said, that's the church that feeds people. And I said, I'm thinking, oh, you know, I mean, I really didn't know what to say. And then he said, sometimes that's the only food we had. Closes the bag, hands it back, and my 4-year-old's running for the gate, and I'm standing there with my mouth, and my wife's looking at me going. And I mean, I just stood there. Florida. In January, I mean, of thousands of people, who's from Lebanon? But you changed a life. And you didn't even know it. That's why it matters. That's why the God-shaped life is a life worth leading. You changed a life, and now you know it. The celebration of new ministry today is not just about bringing David to Lebanon or you having a new priest or starting a new adventure only. It's about shaping your life the way that God and changing one life at a time and welcoming all people that might come through these doors.